uncertainty and soaring unemployment.
I pledge allegiance to the King of Kings and to his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. One holy nation, and our Heavenly Father, grace, mercy, justice for all.
Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and today we're continuing our study in the Scripture. We're in the book called Psalms. We've got all the way to Psalm 90, and we started into it last time, but ran out of time, so we're going to back up to the beginning of Psalm 90 and jump in there. So let's do it. Psalm 90 and verse 1, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever, thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting. Thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as a sleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath we are troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they be 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And that's fairly where we left off last time. Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Ever before our face should be our mortality, the fact that we shall surely die. And if we keep that fact before our face and do not forget it, but are reminded of it continually, and that's an easy thing to do because people are dying around us all the time. People are being born and people are dying all the time. And we were born and we will die just like all of them. So continually before our face is our mortality. So we number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And the wisdom, how to live our life, how to live our days, so that when our time comes, the time comes for our mortality to end, be it 50 years, 70, or 80, or even more, it will come to an end. and where will we be positioned when it comes to an end? Will we have both feet firmly planted in the kingdom of God? And of course, I'm not talking about physically, because the kingdom of heaven is not a kingdom like the other kingdoms of the world, with imaginary or real borders plotted out with fences or lines and signs on the face of the earth. His kingdom is a kingdom of the heart and of the mind and of the spirit, the heart and the mind that desires to live a life that is pleasing to our Heavenly Father, a heart and a mind that embraces His law because it loves the King and desires to live a life that is pleasing to Him. And if we truly love our Heavenly Father, our Creator, and it truly in gratitude of what He did for us, we desire to live a life that's pleasing for Him, would we not embrace His law? Not that we're saved by keeping it, but because we realize that He gave us His law for our own good. So we have a true desire to walk in His kingdom, and Him being our King, to live according to His law. And His law, which will not change. We can always count on Him being the same, as the Scripture says, yesterday, today, and forever. He's not going to change the rules on us. Not like the kingdoms of men, where they constantly change the rules. As a matter of fact, they're so into rule changing and changing their laws that they pay men, hundreds, thousands of men in America, hundreds in every state, thousands at the federal level, to change and write new laws every day. They give this privilege to a special class of people called politicians and whoever they appoint to do all that work for them. So one day you may be a law-abiding citizen according to the laws of whatever kingdom you're in. And the next day, you may be a lawbreaker because by the stroke of the pen, by the signature of a governor on a document passed by the legislature, or the same thing, by the signature of the president of the Federation of the United States of America, by the federal government, after some legislation has passed both houses, and he signs it and it becomes law. And suddenly, you are a law breaker. You are a criminal. And that's what they've done to us all. We are all criminals according to the laws of man. But the laws of God, the law of God is not a heavy burden. They have lied to the people many years now. They have gone into the churches and taught them in the seminaries that the law is dead, that it was nailed to a cross, and that why would we want to do that anyway? It is a heavy burden. Instead of following the Heavenly Father's holy days and feast days and His Sabbaths and new moons, well, they have given us a whole slew of new holy days. They call them holy days. And a whole slew of feast days to replace them. And they said, these are the ones you should follow. And we say, oh yeah, that heavy burden, keeping the Creator's holy days and His feast days and His Sabbaths, that's a heavy burden. But we will gladly embrace the pagan holy days of the world, regardless of even the New Testament says, to not allow the pollutions of idols to enter into your congregations. Oh, forget that. We're not under the law, and somehow, you know, that because if we don't have the pollutions of idols, what holy days are we going to follow? Oh no, we'll have to follow the law. We'll have to follow His holy days and His feast days. Oh, that's a heavy burden. I can't do that. See how brainwashed people are? See how brainwashed we have been? I was there. I grew up not knowing anything as a teenager. I had an encounter with the Creator. And He adopted me, and then I started attending corporate churches, and I got brainwashed into thinking, believing all these things, that God's law was a heavy burden, but we must obey every ordinance of man. But then I read the scripture for myself, and I studied it for myself intensely, and I found quite the opposite. I found that where the ordinance of man goes against the law of God, I am not to obey it, even if it costs me my life. Just ask Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said, we will not bow down and worship, because that's against God's law. And you could throw us in the fire furnace, and God may save us, and He may not. Nevertheless, we will not bow down. Civil disobedience. They were being required to break God's law in order to follow the civil law. And then we see it demonstrated by Peter when he was told not to preach. I guess it was Peter and James or whoever it was with Peter. And they were preaching on that corner. And the authorities came out with the police and they said, you can't preach on this corner. And so they left. And then they came back the next day because God told them to. And they came out and said, didn't we tell you that you can't preach on this corner? And Peter said, who are we supposed to obey, God or man? And there we have our answer. His law is before every other law, and every other law that doesn't comply with His law is no law at all. Now, I can draw an illustration. Let's say that their law says that, you know, their policy enforcers want me to go 60 miles an hour, and I'm traveling by automobile, sitting behind the wheel of the automobile. I can do that. See, because I don't have to break God's law to go 60 miles an hour. So in that case, I will obey their ordinance. And this is what Paul was talking about when he said to obey every ordinance of man, so we don't offend them, and so we don't suffer needlessly. So I'll go 60. And they say, well, click it or tick it, you know, because there are a bunch of tyrants out there. And you know, most people think the nanny state, the state as your daddy, is a good idea. And so they say, click it or tick it. And really, I believe there's a lot of money behind that from the insurance companies who believe they will save money from injury claims. But that's how, you know, the governments of men work. It's all driven by money. But, okay, so that I don't offend them, I will put the seat belt over my shoulder. Because I know if one of their policy enforcers looks at me and he sees me without a shoulder strap over my shoulder, indicating that I have a seat belt on, that he will be offended by that. Oh, how dare I break the rules that he is out there to enforce. And he will pull me over, and they will extract as much money out of me as they can if I'm one of theirs. And if I'm not one of theirs, well, they may let me go, or they may harass me. They may steal my vehicle. Who knows what they will do? You can only wait until the time comes and see how tyrannical these people can be. But I will do that. I will put that on. I will put the seatbelt on because I don't have to break God's law to do it. And so you're getting the idea of how I interpret it, how I'm going to live my life. God's law is supreme. If there's any other bullies out there, people writing ordinances, policy enforcers, you know, I will do what I can to not offend them as long as I don't have to break the law of my Heavenly Father. Now, I know, in the, you know, the patriot and exerting your rights and all that stuff, I don't have to wear a ticket. I mean, I don't have to wear a seatbelt, so I'm not going to, and I'm going to go as fast as I want. Well, I don't believe that that's what our Heavenly Father has called us to, just be rebellious to even unlawful authority. But He calls us to be obedient to Him. And He says to be at peace with all men whenever it is possible with you. Now, by illustration, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, it was not possible for them to be at peace with Nebuchadnezzar when he said, you know, fall down on your face when you hear the music and worship the image that I have created. And they said, we can't. We would have to break the law of God. And we kind of like living in God's kingdom. I mean, you may not see it, Nebi baby, you know, Nebuchadnezzar. You may not see the kingdom of God. Maybe all you see is Babylon, but there is another kingdom here, and there is another king. And we can't break his law to keep your law. And so, you know, he tried to explain it to him again while he called on his enforcers out there to heat the furnace up 7 times hotter, hoping they would change their mind. But they never changed their mind. And they got that furnace so hot that the guys that threw them in died from the heat. And then, of course, Nebuchadnezzar, you know how the story goes, that they were in that furnace walking around, and Nebuchadnezzar squinting his eyes, looking in there real, real hard. He's going, hey, didn't we throw 3 guys in there? But I see 4. And he says, and the 4th one looks like the Son of God. How did Nebuchadnezzar know that? How did he know that he looked like the Son of God? Well, sometimes things can be revealed even to the godless. Because even those demons that possess that man over there in the land of swine herders, they recognize that who the Son of God was. Have you come to torment us before our time? They pleaded with him. So talking about wisdom. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. And the wisdom is to flee fornication. The wisdom is to flee idolatry. And the wisdom is to resist tyranny and any order or any government that would cause you to break the law of God. Because, you know, we can take a little bit of tyranny. Because it is tyrannical for someone to come out here in America, so supposed land. So many people have capitulated that the policy enforcers of the tyranny have become emboldened to persecute and apply their craft to those that haven't volunteered. Because so many people have ignorantly volunteered, they become bold enough to enforce their policy or try to enforce their policy, even on those who stand up for their God-given rights that are supposedly protected by the document, the Constitution, for the United States of America. So that's the condition we're in today. So, yes, put on your seatbelt. You don't have to break God's law for that. And, you know, try to stay around the speed limit. I usually exceed it a little bit. The policy enforcers don't mind that until you get to 5 or 10 miles over. And depending how tight the economic times are, their tolerance comes down. If economic times, if financial times are good, you know, the economy is doing real good, well, they don't touch you till 10 above the speed limit. But as times get worse like they are now and they need more revenue, they might enforce 5 miles over the speed limit. So, you know, I would advise keeping it right around the speed limit if you're out there traveling, and especially if you're traveling without privilege. And I have to tell you why I don't have privilege to travel unmolested by their CIST policy enforcers. Perchance they should stop me, because they require me to break God's law to get the privilege. And that's my stand, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I cannot participate in their socialist security scheme. And if you want more information on that, you go to my website, crosstheborder.org. I'm not going to get into that too deep today, but for anyone who's really interested or just curious as to why I can't become a part of their card-carrying privilege, because you know what they say? They say, driving is a privilege. Well, I don't drive, but most people have accepted the privilege just for traveling, and when you have a right to travel. And driving is a commercial enterprise, of course. If you understand, you studied the law at all, you know that you're not a driver unless you're engaged in commerce and carrying cargo or passengers for hire, which I do neither. You know, I travel by automobile. I sit behind the wheel of my automobile, but I don't drive it because I don't have passengers. Passengers are paying customers, you know, like a cab or a bus or a train, you have passengers. You have passenger trains, you have passenger cars, passenger buses, but, you know, and they say passenger car, but I don't have a passenger car, I have an automobile. And automobile is two words, auto, which means autonomous. It means that I can travel autonomously. I can be autonomously mobile using this automobile or this car or whatever you want to call it. But they get you all trapped up in their legal terms, and because they have one language where words mean one thing in the courtroom, and legally they mean one thing, but out here in the common vernacular, they take on different meanings. And so they polluted the language, and they trap people by that pollution of the language. And they don't teach law in the schools like they did 150 years ago and before that, where everyone, you know, knew the law and understood the terms that they were dealing with. But they've gone out to dumb people down and confuse them about things where words have different meanings in one venue than they have in another, and most people not understanding that get trapped by their own words in their courtrooms. And it doesn't mean that they can't trample on you anyway, even if you use the right terms, because they're so used to running over the people that even if you have knowledge, you still can get trampled by the iron out there, the iron fist of our Roman-style government. We continue on here in Psalms. So there's just a little wisdom how to work in the world and how to conduct yourself. And you add that to how to continue without breaking God's law, even though you are compelled to by the society around you. And if you are in those things, well, it's not hopeless, because our Heavenly Father graciously allows us to repent of those things. And when we repent of those things, we stand on our conviction, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Even to the death, we do not violate the law of our God. Because if we think we're going to save ourselves, or we think that we're going to save our family, we're fooling ourselves. We're putting the fear of man before the fear of God. Well, we'll continue here in the Psalms when we get back from these messages. You're listening to Cross the Border. We'll be back in a few minutes.
fight the fight. We are here to equip you because you love the truth. LibertyRadioLive.com.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Who will tell them if not you?
Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from LibertyRadioLive.com. Order online today or call 559-781-3773.
Now listen to me.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. And I was referencing a document on my website before I left, so I thought I'd complete that thought for you. Go to crosstheborder.org, and if you scroll down a little bit, you'll see a link there that says Travel Document, and that's a PDF file. And it is a document I carry when I travel, and it's also a declaration of repentance, too. Stating my position that I have repented of my participation in a Mark of the Beast numbering monetary system, which they require for licensing, or before they give you a license, or really their license is a freedom from harassment pass, as far as I'm concerned, for most people. Because if you don't have it, it seems like they will hassle you and persecute you. But what are they going to do when they see my declaration? Are they going to force me to recant my faith and get a license? Well, they can't do it because I have to sign. So as long as I have to sign anything, It is voluntary, and it is an act of my will. So they can't make me do it. They can harass me. They can do a lot of things to me. I mean, they could even taser and shoot me. I mean, it does happen. You know, hopefully it won't happen to me. I'd rather just let them leave me alone. And that's another reason why I will go their speed limit and I will wear their shoulder strap, because I don't want them to be offended and stop me because of those things. And then who knows what will happen after that, because there's so many of their laws I can't comply with without first breaking God's law. But those things aren't obvious to the eye and to their monitoring devices, such as radar and such. Yeah, but I'm sure that's all going to change someday. And it may be. In some states, I know that they have a computer with a scanner that can read license plates and give the policia the information about the license plate. And so I guess what happens if you don't have a license plate, though? I guess the computer ignores your vehicle because it's looking for license plates to read. So unless they program it to alert it to automobiles that don't have license plates, but hopefully they won't think of that one. But those kinds of, you know, the technology is really growing, and the tyrannical government's use of the technology will grow with it. But fortunately, we're having terrible economic times, and they can't even afford to keep the police out there and have extra policy enforcers roaming the highways. And I think that's a good thing. I don't think they should be able to live beyond their budget. So tight financial times don't bother me. As a matter of fact, they make me glad, at least for when it comes to the government and their ability to exercise their tyranny. Well, let's continue here. And I define tyranny as exercising authority that they do not rightfully have a right to exercise. It's going beyond their scope of authority, and that's called a usurpation of power. That's what tyranny is. But let's continue here. We're in, let's see, oh yes, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long, and let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may be rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Make us glad. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God, let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. And the only work of our hands that our Heavenly Father is going to establish are the works that are pleasing to Him. So let us be about His business. Let us live in His kingdom. Let us reverence His law over all other laws, and let us live by it, because we have a true desire to please Him. A lot of people, many people, hate His law. Many people in the corporate churches hate the law of God. And the reason they hate the law of God is because they do not want to keep it. And one, because it convicts them. Two, because they are not keeping it. They have no desire to stop doing those things that are lawless, that are against His law. So they teach that it was nailed to the cross. But I believe that the law of God reveals the character of God. If you read His law tells us about who He is. If He says, "Thou shalt not murder," tells us something about Him. If He says, "You shall not steal," well, we learn, don't we? "Shall not commit adultery." His law tells us about His character, about who He is. And if we hate His law, aren't we saying we hate Him? If He reveals His character through His law, don't we hate His character? Don't we hate who He is by the revelation that He's given us? Yes, I think you need to be real careful when you're handling the law of God, and especially if you're proclaiming things like the hatred of God's law and how it's a heavy burden, at the same time embracing all of the laws of men and saying that they're not a heavy burden when the opposite is true. Let's see, verse 15. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. And Psalm 91, verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of Yahuwah by name, the psalmist gives us here the name, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. As I travel about in the world, as I live, I feel that I am dwelling in a secret place. Even though I get on this broadcast every day and proclaim, you know, the glory of God, and I proclaim His law and repentance from the requirements of men, that you break His law, that you place the law of man before the law of God. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We can hide in plain sight while we engage the world. We can be in it, but not of it. That is the secret place. And He keeps us in His shadow, or under the shadow of His wings, it's put in other places, when we abide in Him. When we have that true desire to live a life that is pleasing to Him. If we step into disobedience, then the light that's in us becomes darkness. And we may be revealed to the enemy around us by the darkness. The light shines for those that are seeking the light, and the light can blind those and hide us from those that hate the light because they can't look on the light. And I can speak spiritually here too, because there is this secret place. There is. We are hidden if we abide, as it says here, under the shadow of the Almighty. And I think about the prophecy. It's from that wicked man, Nebuchadnezzar. And we talked a little bit about his image earlier, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, how they played into that. But he had this dream of this great image. And, of course, he was called the head of gold, which represented the nation Babylon, of which he was the king, King Nebuchadnezzar, the head of Babylon, the head of gold. And, of course, he built an image of all gold. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure he got the idea of that image from his dream, but he made it all gold because he wanted to be worshipped. He wanted to be all in all. And I think that's the tendency of governments. They take on a life of their own, and they want to be worshipped all in all, above all other things. Their laws are to be obeyed above all other laws, even the law of God. So they set themselves in the place of God, and they create of these beast governments an image of pure gold, so to speak, like Babylon. And they want everybody to worship it. But the image has got down to the feet of clay and iron, and I believe it's morphing at this time, though it hasn't been fully exposed as the 10 toes, or 10 regions, of which the Club of Rome, from information that I have, has divided up the world into, if you get the... There is a Club of Rome. You can look it up for yourself. And I think that the Club of Rome, I think there's a hint even in the name because, of course, if we're in the iron and clay, iron mingled with clay, and that is the portion of the image that is going to last until the end of the image. There's nothing after that. There's nothing else. This is it. This is the end. This is all the new world order you're going to get for all of you so-called patriots and people out there fighting the new world order. This is it. You know, it's going to morph into, but it's still going to be clay and iron, even if they divide it up into 10 regions and appoint 10 kings over these regions. And I think that'll happen before the end, but you can look it up. 10 regions, Club of Rome. You can Google that and do your own research. And of course, then you fit that together with all the other prophecy, and, you know, all the pieces come together for prophecy. But what I'm talking about is the iron and the clay and being hidden in plain sight under the shadow of the Almighty in the secret place of the Most High. In the times that we live in, you want to stay in the clay, and He can keep you there. But we have to keep ourselves, we have to live a pure lives. And people that are getting trampled, they need to look at their lives. And they need to cry out to the Heavenly Father and to repent of those things where they've compromised with the world. And some, innocently, some, they have listened to ungodly counsel. Remember, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. But we followed ungodly counsel. I did it too. All the corporate churches have followed ungodly counsel. They've listened to lawyers, said you must incorporate. And then all the godly people, when they went to get a job, they listened to ungodly counsel when they said, oh, you got to go get a number. And so they went and got a number, and they signed up for a benefit system. They signed up a contract declaring themselves incompetent to take care of themselves and said, oh, please, image, oh, please, take care of me and please manage my financial affairs for me. And I will do whatever you say. I will follow your rules. Just give me a number so I can work. Now, most people didn't realize they were doing that. They thought they were just going out to do a good thing. Because the scripture says that if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. It's a good thing that you want to go out and work so you can eat and feed your family and take care of it. But you got deceived and you followed ungodly counsel because they said, go get a number. And you didn't question it. You didn't say, is this godly counsel? Let me pray about this. Let me search the scriptures to see if this is godly counsel. Show me in the word. But it was ungodly counsel, and we followed it blindly, and we signed up for the benefits of the world, and we made overseers over us a system, an image that was set up to manage our financial affairs for us. And that's exactly what they do. And that's why you have to fill out your 1040 inquisition form every year, because you have to let, you know, your financial managers know, and you have to pay them. They let you keep what they think you need to live on, and they take the rest because they're managing your financial affairs, because you have deemed yourself, you have proclaimed yourself incompetent to take care of yourself. And you haven't said, oh, I'm going to rely on the Heavenly Father to take care of me when I get old, or if something bad happens, I need the government to do it. I need to sign up for this system. But it goes in the against the Word of God. And all you got to do is go over there to Proverbs chapter 1 and read it for yourself. And I'm going to read it for you so I can move on. But Proverbs chapter 1, quite explicit. And that's the book after Psalms, the one we're reading. Real easy to find. Proverbs chapter 1. And it says, okay. Oh, yes. Let's start in verse 8 there. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Continuing, for they shall be an ornament of grace to thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Now here's where it begins. So Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent with cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. In other words, let us lay in wait for the lives of others. And what is the life of others but their labor? We shall find all precious substance. We will, shall fill our howls with spoil. But now here's a key verse. This should turn you on to what I'm getting at here. They're going to say, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, and I'm going to jump ahead here, cast in thy lot among us. This is more of the things that they say. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. Now here is a prohibition for God's people of casting in their lot with unbelievers and sinners and having one purse with unbelievers and sinners. This is a prohibition explicitly in the scripture. And he continues, my son, walk not. There you go. Walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil, make haste to shed blood. And they do that. That's what they do with the money that you're casting in your lot and you're having one purse. They're shedding a lot of blood with that money, aren't they? How many abortions have you paid for? How many innocent people were killed in Iraq recently? And other wars untold and innocent people killed, lives destroyed on the money that you cast in your lot with them and had one purse with them. How much of your money did they use to commit these atrocities and shed innocent blood? Refrain thy foot. And it's voluntary. If you have to sign the document, if you don't sign the document, guess what? You can't participate in their system. Someone has to sign for you. If you don't object, if someone signed up for you before you became of age to enter into contracts, if you don't object when you become of age, then you're assenting, you're consenting. And if you continue in it, you're consenting. If you don't repent, if you don't wake up one day and said, how did I get into this evil? I cannot continue to participate in this. I repent of this evil, and you withdraw your foot from their path because you repent. See my document there on my website, crosstheborder.org. Scroll down, it says travel documents. You'll see my declaration of repentance there. And I call it a travel document because I make sure I always have it when I travel. And so there it is. You have your prohibition, and that prohibition is carried over into the New Testament. It says, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. And of course, I know the church likes to apply that only to the young people marrying outside of their denomination or their congregation or their denomination or outside of the faith, whatever their faith is. And that would be just people who call themselves Christians for the most part. But that scripture is not specifically about marriage. It applies to marriage, but it also applies here because we can see the same principle here. We're not to enter into business. We're not to have as business partners people, ungodly, idolaters. We can do business with them. If they're selling something, we can trade, but we cannot enter into long-term business relationships with them. I can go down without question to the corner store. I don't know whether those people are idolaters. If I find out they are idolaters, maybe I'll go somewhere else and I won't do business with them. But I'm not entering into a long-term contract. I'm not becoming a card-carrying member with idolaters where I enter into an agreement with them, especially enter into agreement where I declare myself incompetent and put them in the management of my financial affairs for the rest of my life. Because that's what you've done. That's what has been done for you and you are living in. If your parents or some other adult signed you up, as it happened to me, but I got convicted and I repented and I withdrew from it many years ago. And I don't know them anymore and they don't know me. And that's the way I like it. And I can use that as a point of reference to lead people into his kingdom. Okay, we'll be back after some messages and the news. You're listening to Cross the Border.
secrets